Good afternoon. This is another episode of the Sean Moe Hoops podcast, the first episode after the college basketball season has ended with Villanova winning the championship last night over Michigan. And I'm pleased to have with me a special guest, the head coach of UNC Wilmington, CB McGrath. CB, how are you doing today?
Great, Sean.
Thanks for coming on. I know this time right now is a little different than last year. Just going back a year, you were fresh off winning your third championship with UNC, and you had also accepted the head coaching job at UNC Wilmington. So just going back a year, how crazy was the Final Four for you last year trying to prepare as well as interview and take the job at UNC Wilmington?
Yeah, obviously it was really wild, busy time, exciting time, all those things. And it's crazy it's only been a year, but I was sitting in front of my TV watching the championship game last night, and it's pretty cool how they do those intros on the court and all the graphics and stuff like that. Like when you're on the court for the game, you can't see that, you know, I mean, you don't have as good of a view, and all the excitement around it. You don't really pay that much attention because you're so focused on the game plan or how you're going to play. But you know, last year I had accepted the job, before we played in the championship game. And so I knew it was going to be my last time as an assistant coach at North Carolina, and working for Coach Williams, and Gonzaga was my scout. And so it was the year before, in 2016, Villanova was my scout in the championship. And, you know, I thought I didn't do as good a job for some reason. I thought there was a couple things I could have found or helped to help us maybe go to the hump against Villanova, but they were really good that year, obviously. You know, they did all the right things to sort of slow us down, get us out of a rhythm. And so I didn't want to make the same mistake. I want to make sure I just put my head in the computer and didn't think about UNCW per se for the next couple of days, because I wanted to do everything I could for this team to somehow beat Gonzaga, who was a great team, and not overlook anything or feel like I didn't do the very best I could have done to help the team win from a scouting side.
How was it during the tournament? I think the interviews had begun, and obviously when you're interviewing for a head coach, I'm sure the preparation was pretty intense of kind of, you know, basically formulating your playing style and your vision for the program. And was that something you had kind of been building along the road, you know, over the 13, 14 years you were at UNC, and it kind of culminated with some of those interviews? Or how did that process work, and really trying to emphasize what you wanted to bring to the program?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you work for a long time as an assistant, so you sort of have a vision of what type of program you want to run or how you want to run it. When you do get the opportunity to be head coach, and just try and verbalize that in the interview process. Not all the questions enable you to do that, and you got to capitalize on the questions that do give you the platform to really tell them what you're going to try and do, what you want to accomplish, how you want to run the program, and all those kind of things. You know, the interview, we beat Kentucky on that Sunday in the Final Eight, and then came home, and Jimmy Bass, the AD, asked if I could come interview on Wednesday. Well, the team was flying out on Tuesday to the Final Four because it was all the way in Phoenix. And I didn't want to miss 2 days of the Final Four and the preparation, you know, getting ready for the Oregon game. Yeah, we played Oregon. And so Coach sort of asked Jimmy if he would mind if I came down on Tuesday. Well, they already had somebody interview on Tuesday morning, so I sort of came in Tuesday afternoon and then flew out that night and met the team in Phoenix, you know, on Wednesday. So I didn't miss anything other than just the arrival festivities. And so that was good. And then, you know, after you interview, you sort of wait to hear what's going to happen. You know, other guys are interviewing. Obviously, usually they do. And it's sort of just to sit around and wait. But obviously I didn't have to sit around because I was busy working at the Final Four. You know, if I wasn't coaching at the time, you think about it a lot more. But I was thinking about my current job and all the responsibilities I had to do as an assistant coach in the Final Four to try and help UNC win a national championship and help those guys that worked so hard all year. And so that made it easier to have distractions as opposed to always, thinking, well, did I say this? Did I say that? Did I do this? Did I do that? But, obviously made the right impression and got offered the job and accepted it right away.
Yeah, I'm sure obviously your assistant career couldn't have ended on a better note with the championship game, and especially after how 2016 ended with the Villanova loss. Just speaking on Villanova for a second, you guys played them in the championship. They won last night and beat every team by double digits on their way to winning the championship, which hasn't happened since 2009 when your UNC team did the same thing. And both teams have a lot of talent, but I was just curious from your perspective, how do you think both those teams matched up, 2009 UNC versus a 2018 Villanova team?
Yeah, I mean, obviously different styles of how they play. Villanova doesn't necessarily push the tempo, and they really do a nice job switching all screens and, trying to really defend, and we push the ball up the court as quick as possible and try to score in transition and try and speed those other teams up defensively with our pressure man-to-man. Four guys got drafted off of our team after we won in 2009, so we obviously had some talented kids. But Coach Williams did a great job because the year before, we basically had everybody come back. We lost in 2008 to Kansas in the Final Four, and their length and athleticism really bothered us. And sometimes you have all those kids coming back that sort of test the waters. You don't know how it's going to all go with egos and things. And Coach Williams did an unbelievable job, like he always does, of just getting those kids to buy into the program, buy into each other, and not worry about anything else. If you have a great year and a great run, and just play as part of the team, he always said that those are the players that are going to get rewarded or the awards, and to have four guys drafted, obviously that team got rewarded, but winning the championship was what they all came back to try and do after having that bitter taste in their mouth after 2008. And saying that, Villanova is so tough, and they just do a lot of things to disrupt the rhythm of the other team, like they did to us in 2016. And, so every game for them is just a little different. And when they're really making shots, which they didn't last night, other than DeVincenzo, or I think it's how you name Dante, I guess is what his name is. I mean, he made a ton of shots for them, but obviously against Kansas, everybody made stuff. And so when they're making shots, they're extremely tough. And, they're just all in. They all have bought into the program, bought into their mantra, and do the best job they can for each other. And that's what our team did in 2009, too, in the end. Obviously there's growing pains and you fluctuate, you have ups and downs, and I'm sure Villanova did this year, but you want to be the hottest team during the NCAA tournament. And in 2009, we were the hottest team. Now, were we the best team? We were. Sometimes that doesn't happen. Sometimes the hottest team isn't the best team, but this year the hottest team was the best team. And in 2009, the hottest team was the best team.
Yep. And at UNC, you mentioned, the players that got drafted, and obviously throughout your career, you helped recruit a lot of five-star players, four-star players that went on to the NBA. And when you took over the job at UNC Wilmington, it's a different talent pool. So I know at UNC you could be very, very selective, but when you first got onto the job, so you guys lost a lot of talent from last year's team, what was kind of your approach at the very beginning, and how did you start identifying players you wanted to talent, or how did you identify players that you wanted to target for your team going forward?
Yeah, well, I hired a good staff, and Doug Eslick, who spent the last 7 years with Mercer, who's a mid-major program, Jack Emanuel, who played for us in 2005 at North Carolina, has been at UNCG and Valparaiso, and so they had recruited a lot of guys that were still available that thought they had a chance to maybe play for us or whatever, and got me in front of them and gave me some lists, and obviously over the years I've built a bunch of relationships, whether it's high school coaches, prep school coaches, AAU coaches, that I could call and say, hey, do you got anybody that you recommend? So we got a list together and decide who we wanted to go see in that April period. after I took the job and found a couple kids I really liked. And I knew I was going to have a lot of scholarships because we lost four of our top five and then another senior. And so we lost five guys off the team. And but I didn't want to just bring in five freshmen that I didn't know that well or didn't think they could play for me or maybe it'd be a stretch, you know, those kind of things. Because there's usually not a lot of kids available. And if you just rush into it, you know, and kids aren't happy because whether they're not good enough or, you know, they don't fit my system, you know, like I just want to be careful because I want to run a program. If Jimmy said, hey, we have to win next year, well, then I wouldn't have taken the job. You know, I want to build it how I want to build it, how I want to run things. And so obviously in your first year, you know, you have some time and you can be patient and not rush into things. But in saying that, I found a couple of freshmen that I really liked. And one I didn't know at all. I just went to an AAU tournament and he was actually thinking about going to prep school. So he was still playing AAU. His name is Jeffrey Gary. And, I was watching him play. I was like, man, he's a good player and does a lot of nice things. I think he'd be great for us. And I called him. He's like, yeah, I'm thinking about going to prep school. I was like, okay, I heard you were a senior and I didn't know that. And, you know, we started talking and he came on a visit, you know, a few weeks later and ended up committing to us and did a nice job as a freshman. He had his ups and downs like all freshmen do. And then Jay Estime was a kid that Doug had seen throughout the course of the last couple of years. And so I went down to Atlanta. And I saw him play, and as soon as I walked in the gym and saw him, you know, for 5 minutes, 10 minutes of the workout, I knew he could play for us. And he just does a lot of good things on the court. His shot is simple. He's big enough and all those kind of things. And so that was nice. You know, that alleviated some of the stress knowing that I had a couple guys that I could add to that mix. Now, long story short, we had a guy get hurt this year, didn't play at all. Who I was expecting to maybe start, Matt Elmore. And he just hurt his knee and had surgery and was out all year. And then Jaquel Richmond, who got hurt early in the season and only played six games, and then I had dismissed from the team. So I lost two pieces that I thought would help with our depth that, you know, we were already not a very deep team. And so in hindsight, I maybe should have kept looking. But I did bring in a transfer, Gene Tosilla from Florida Atlantic. And so obviously he sat out all year and he's going to help us next year. And then a JUCO kid named Trey Kalina, and he did some good things here and there for us this year.
Coming in next year, I know you have one recruit from Charlotte and one recruit from Northfield, Mount Hermon, which I know at UNC, Andrew Playtech came from, and then obviously Charlotte, in-state, and a place you spent a lot of time recruiting for UNC. So I was kind of interested to learn about, had you seen those players while recruiting Andrew and recruiting the Charlotte area, or were they more recent over this past year that you became aware of the upcoming recruits?
Yeah, I had seen them, you know, and it just jogged my memory when I went and saw them again, you know, because I recruited Andrew Playtech and Kai was his point guard for his senior year. And when I went to the AAU circuit last April or maybe even July, I can't remember when it was, but no, it was July. And I was watching the kid play. I was like, man, he looks familiar. And then I looked up, you know, they give you the books and half the time is never right. But usually the New England players do a pretty good job of keeping their information good. And it said Kai in there and he's Northfield Mount Hermon. I was like, oh, that was Andrew's point guard. And, you know, so I contacted him and he had an interest and, you know, the recruiting process goes from there. And then Jalen Sims from Charlotte, you know, I had seen over the years and he'd really gotten a lot better. And, you know, Jeff McGinnis does a great job with Team Charlotte. And obviously we have a relationship with him. He's a Carolina guy. And so just started recruiting him. But I thought they were both pieces that, you know, we really needed this upcoming year. We were losing Jordan Talley, who was a senior point guard for us. And so we need a point guard to come in and know how to run things, know how to run a team. And Kai can do that. And then Jalen is multidimensional. He can defend a lot of positions. He can play a lot of positions. And I always like that versatility out of anybody, and especially freshmen, to give them more opportunity to get on the court when they can do things. And we're still looking to add one or two more. You know, we got a couple of kids coming on official visits this next weekend for next year. So we're not finished. It just takes a while sometimes because kids wait longer to make decisions. We don't get to see them as often as I want to. You know, I didn't get out on the road during the season and recruit like I'm used to because when I was assistant coach, you know, I told coach, hey, I'm going to go out for 2 days and I can miss practice. You know, it wasn't my scout, those kind of things. Coach Williams never missed a practice. And I didn't feel like I could miss any practices or days with the team that I had this year or we were going to go backwards. And not that we had a great season, but I always felt like we were making some progress going forward and I never wanted to go backwards. And so I didn't get to see as many kids during the season. So I had to play a little catch up after we end up losing our conference tournament and saw a bunch of kids in March and have sort of gone from there with the recruiting process.
Okay. And I know this season, 7-11 in the conference, but a lot of those losses, over half, were pretty close games, either overtime or coming down to the final few possessions. And how do you think you guys can use that as a learning experience for next year?
We just got more competitive. I made the mistake early on, overlooking the defensive side of things and taking for granted what I thought they knew and what I thought we had to work on. And I was more worried about putting in our offensive system and schemes because it was different. And I knew they were a pressing team, but they were sort of a man-to-man pressing team. And I thought a lot of it would be similar and just easier transition and end up not being. So once we really buckled down the defensive side of things, once conference season started, I thought we were much more competitive. And yeah, we were 7-11 and we had four overtime games in our conference season and a lot of other close ones that came down the final minute. You know, obviously it puts a lot of stress on the players and the coaches to always have a great final possession, whether it's offensively or defensively, when it's a one possession game. And, you know, we got to those situations a lot of different ways. Sometimes we had some possessions that would let slip through our hands. Sometimes we had to come back because we didn't play well for 2 or 3 minute stretches, you know. But our guys got a lot of game experience. They got a lot of pressure game type situations, which is invaluable experience. You know, I think if you're, let's say last night, it would have come down to one possession game with Nova and Michigan. You know, Villanova had beaten everybody by double digits, while Michigan had made a last second three-pointer and been in a close game. So you would expect Michigan to be, I don't know, more mentally prepared because they had been there before in the tournament. I mean, that's when there's most pressure. So I think that's going to help us moving forward. I think it helped us during the season. There was never really a situation that we hadn't seen and that we weren't prepared for. And the guys did a great job. And, you know, we won some of those games. We lost some of them, but they learned from it.
And you talked about putting in your system. And one thing I was curious about going into the season was seeing how fast or how slow you played. Obviously at UNC, they're known for their up-tempo system, and Coach Williams likes to push the ball and get up on the break, the secondary break especially. And looking at KenPom, you guys ranked 27th in the country in tempo, so you actually played faster than UNC. Was that something was your goal, to play that up-tempo style and take some similarities of what you coached at UNC and then kind of diagram it to your own liking? Or what was, you know, when you came on, what style of play were you looking to bring to UNC Wilmington?
Yeah, definitely up-tempo. You know, I coached a JV team for 6 or 7 seasons. I can't remember, at Carolina. And we tried to play up tempo and it worked, and we weren't the most athletic team. We weren't the tallest team, but there's ways to play fast and not have the personnel that UNC has. And you got to adjust your sets, your screening actions, where you're getting shots based on your personnel and where you can score. And so it took me a little bit to figure out where my guys here could score, because I didn't recruit any of them. And the guys that had played in the past years, you know, scored in different areas, you know, but I had to make sure that I was getting them in areas where they were comfortable, and that took some time, but I did want to play fast. I think it's a system that kids like to play in. It's more fun to coach. The more possessions, you can make a mistake here and there. You know, if you have 20 possessions in a game and you make mistakes on 4 of them, that's a big percentage compared to if you have 60 possessions a game and you make mistakes on six of them, you know? And so kids these days and age, no matter how much you practice, the mistakes are going to happen. And, you know, coaches make mistakes. Coaches make bad calls. And so I just think up-tempo is how I want to coach, how I want my system to be. And it did take a while, not necessarily to get them to understand how to run, because Coach Keats played an up-tempo style here before. It was just we had to get them in different positions, different spots on the floor. And so that was more the transition. But it's great that they already ran. They knew what it was like to play fast and not try and turn the ball over and those kind of things. But, you know, I think going forward, that's what I'm recruiting to. That's a style that I'm used to, and I sort of understand it best.
Well, that definitely makes sense. And, you know, for you, you've been coaching your whole adult life. You played at Kansas under Coach Williams back in the 90s with some talented players, Paul Pierce, Rafe LaFrance, Jacques Vaughn. When did you kind of know you wanted to go into coaching go into coaching as a career?
Well, when I grew up, I was a huge Kansas basketball fan. And really, my whole life, I just wanted to play at Kansas. And, you know, you just play basketball. I enjoyed the game. It wasn't like if I couldn't play at Kansas, I was going to quit. But luckily, very fortunate that Coach asked me to walk on. Eventually, I got a scholarship all 4 years. The kid that they were holding a scholarship for didn't qualify academically. And so he had a scholarship, like my work ethic in the summertime. Put me on scholarships, so my parents don't have to pay for college. So lucky for everybody in that regard. But I was always going to be a member of the team. And I didn't really think about what I wanted to do after college when I was growing up. You know, I just wanted to play college basketball and be a Jayhawk. Well, when I got to school, I said math and science are easier for me than, you know, English and history. I'm not a big reader. And so I'd rather just take a test and put a number and a formula and get an answer. And when I got there, they said, well, you need to be an engineer or a doctor. And so I took courses in both those areas and enjoyed the human biology side of it more than anything. So I just studied for 3 years to be a doctor. And going into my senior year, I realized this is my last year playing basketball because I was not going to be a professional. I wasn't good enough. And I just started thinking that I'm going to really miss basketball. I love sports. I love being around sports. I love being around teams. And so I talked to Coach that year and just said, hey, Coach, whenever I graduate, I want to get a job in the sports industry. And if it can be in basketball, great. You know, if not, I loved watching other sports. I liked being involved in other sports in high school. You know, I did golf, track, cross country my senior year as well as basketball. And long story short, Coach had an opening during my fifth year. I did an internship with Nike after my senior year, so I didn't go to summer school to finish. I came back for one more semester, and Matt Doherty ended up leaving for Notre Dame, and Coach Williams called me his secretary called me on Monday and said, hey, Coach wants to meet you on Thursday. And I said, okay. I figured it was about, you know, going with Coach Doherty, you know, and he said, hey, I'd love to hire you. And that was pretty much it. You know, I got right place at the right time. And obviously it was a 4-year job interview. You don't realize it when you're going through it. And Coach liked what I did as a member of the team and wanted me to join his team again on staff, and the rest is history.
I know at Kansas, you were on some talented teams, and unfortunately for those teams, you know, they didn't get hot at the right time, but overall we're very talented and produced a lot of NBA players. But I've got to ask you, I think it was your senior year, and my Kansas friend, he mentioned, you know, he enjoyed watching your teams play and you play as well. But he wanted me to ask you about a breakaway dunk attempt that I thought happened in your senior night, but I think happened during the year. And I was wondering if you remember what he was referring to with that.
Well, yeah, it's hard to forget my only dunk attempt in a game that I missed, Sean. But it was my junior year, and we were playing UNC Asheville, and we were the number one team in the country. My junior year was the 96-97 season where we ended up 34-2. We were 34-1 before we lost to Arizona in the Sweet 16. And so, needless to say, it was in the field house, and Asheville coming in there is going to be tough for them. We were beating them pretty good. And I coach put me in with like 7.5 minutes to go in the game, and I never came out. And, you know, that year I wasn't used to playing 3 straight minutes, let alone 7 straight minutes. So I was pretty tired, but I always told our guys, because my freshman year, I couldn't dunk in high school, and I never lifted weights. And so when I got to college, we lifted weights, and I could start dunking. So I thought it was pretty cool. And so I would always dunk at our shoot-arounds, and coach would always make me dunk, thinking that was, you know, he's very superstitious. He won't say he is, but he's like, you know, CB, you got to dunk. I was like, well, coach, I'm 5'11", and sometimes I just don't have it. You know, some days I can dunk, some days I can't. But he didn't get that, and so he goes, well, CB's got dunk now. CB's got dunk. And one time we were at Iowa State, and I couldn't make one, and he thought we were going to lose. Now we end up winning, so that sort of eased his mind. So anyways, I told all the guys, if I ever got a breakaway, no matter, you know, what the score is at the end of the game, I was going to attempt a dunk. So I got this breakaway with probably, I don't know, 12 seconds to go in the game. We're up 30. And I was exhausted. And I knew I probably was not going to make it, but I still had to try. And I stuffed myself on the front of the rim. Like, it had no chance to go in. And the guys on the bench went crazy. Coach Williams went crazy in terms of laughing. He wasn't mad. And so we're the number one team in the country, and ESPN back then, you know, sort of led off SportsCenter by saying, hey, the number one team in the country is in action tonight, and they show my highlight. Like, of all the highlights, they show my missed dunk. Now, it would have been before not top 10 and those kind of things, so I didn't get as much exposure as it would now. But Coach Williams tried to call. I had so many calls from all my friends. Like, that was back before I had a cell phone, and so they were using my dorm phone, and it was busy. Coach Williams tried to call me for like 20 straight minutes, but it kept on being busy. And he finally got through, and I was like, yeah, coach, people have been calling for 20 minutes. I already know. So it was a big laughing point, and he still jokes about it. It's one of his more memorable moments, even though it was a missed shot.
Well, you know, being able to dunk is no small feat. So, you know, even though you missed it in the game, just, you know, being able to do that is definitely impressive. You know, this isn't going to be an easy question, just given you were at UNC for 14 years, but, you know, how much and you've been with Coach Williams your whole time, but how much did Coach Williams and kind of being at UNC mean to you? Obviously, you guys went through a lot of highs with the 3 championships spread out over mm-hmm. different classes, but also had to deal with all the academic stuff and negative recruiting and getting through that. And, you know, over your span, just how was the overall experience, you know, with Coach Williams and being at UNC and kind of leading to your first head coaching experience?
Well, that is a tough question. You know, there were a lot of highs and some lows. You know, at UNC, there's so much pressure to win, and it felt like the only time we were truly ever happy, or I was truly ever happy being a member of the staff, is when we went to the Final Four, won a national championship, or beat Duke. You know, there's not a lot of moments where you beat Virginia Tech by 17 that you're awfully excited about it. And that's not saying anything against them. It's just the where the program is and what the expectations are. But Coach Williams, he was incredible to work for, a very caring person. And obviously there's a lot of things I miss about him on a daily basis that I took for granted when I was working for him. You know, being on my own, it's just amazing how incredibly good he is. And you don't realize it because you see it every day. But winning is not easy, and running an unbelievable program is not easy, and running one that's pretty darn squeaky clean. I mean, the media blew that whole thing out of proportion. There are some easy classes at UNC. There's some easy classes everywhere in the world, and there's no penalty for having easy classes. There was some at Kansas, you know, and all the kids that took those classes at Carolina did the work. They're not fake classes. They're not made up. Like, it's in the syllabus. Anybody can register for them. So it was all just sort of blown out of proportion with misinformation. We always knew the information. We knew there was nothing that any of us did wrong, anything that Coach Williams could have done differently. I mean, if school offers it, kids can take it. And so that was always difficult, just dealing with that negative publicity. It didn't affect us on a daily basis dealing with our guys, because we knew our guys were doing the right thing. We knew they were working hard in the classroom, on the court. So looking back, I wish I would have stepped back and enjoyed it more, because obviously getting to Final Fours and winning national championships is not easy. And when you get there, you want to feel more satisfaction than you actually do. I think in 2016, even though we lost to Villanova, I was really proud, satisfied, whatever you want to call it, not only of the guys that persevered, but being able to have kids of my own, my twins and my son, go to a Final Four and actually going to remember it, you know. And now it's not what you wanted to remember with that last shot of Nova. I mean, everybody was devastated. But then the next year we go back and my kids get to go again and we win it. So they have obviously have a very bad memory and a very good memory, but it's memories nonetheless. And it's something I remember. In 1988, Kansas won the national championship, and I was 12 years old. And so my twins are 11 now, and I know they can always remember that. I mean, it was a great day for me. I remember the 86 Final Four, and that was devastating, and that was 2 years before. And so I just think it's sort of cool that some of my greatest memories now wasn't part of the staff or part of the team, but just as a fan, and that's what they are, and they have great memories. So there's a bunch of good, like I said, Sean, and then there was some bad, but, you know, more good, obviously, than bad, and it was a great run, and I appreciate Coach Williams for everything he did for me. Obviously, hopefully all Carolina fans appreciate everything he's done for that program, and, you know, he always talked about how he learned from Coach Smith and try to do everything that he learned from him, and he did a great job at Kansas for those 15 years, and then obviously at Carolina for the last 15.
Well, I could go on forever, but I'm gonna just go with one more question. You're talking about memories. Is there any, and this is gonna be another difficult one, but is there any game or moment, whether it was at Kansas or UNC, that kind of sticks out more than others?
Oh, you know, before 2005, when I was part of a staff that won the first championship, you know, it just seemed like all the losses that ended your season were the memories you had. You know, like the loss to Arizona when I was a player really hurt. You know, obviously the other season-ending losses hurt as well, but not as much as that one because we were the best team in the country. We weren't playing the best at the end of the year, which you need to do. Arizona got hot, and they rolled to the championship, and they beat us along the way. But, you know, once you win a championship, that you sort of remember that. And the crazy thing is, it's your more recent championship. Like, my memories from 2005 sort of faded a little bit, other than just remembering that we won it and being in St. Louis. And then 2009, I can still remember, but I remember 2016, 2017 even more than anything. You know, but I'll forget those along the way when we start winning some championships here, you know, CAA championships, conference tournament championships, big games, those kind of things. You know, I told Coach this year was sort of fun because every win that I had, it felt like we beat Duke. And so those are always great memories, you know. And I compared it earlier, like at Carolina, if we beat NC State, you know, it wasn't like I was over the top happy, you know. But here is like, man, we just beat Duke. And so that all the memories this year are pretty good. And but I'd say the 2017 national championship in terms of basketball is my favorite memory from North Carolina. Just the whole season, how you lose a devastating way, and your whole mission by these guys was to get back. And if you're on staff and you work college basketball, you know how hard it is. I kept on thinking I really thought there was 0% chance we'd get back there. And we did. And those guys persevered, and man, it was just so satisfying for them, and it was a great time.
Well, no, that definitely sounds fantastic. And you know, for me, I was at UNC when I was a sophomore, or finished up my freshman year when you guys came over. So I feel like I've kind of tried to live vicariously through you guys, and was at that Final Four last year. So definitely enjoyed it from a fan's perspective, but. I was able to meet you a few years ago on the road for recruiting, so I was definitely happy for you when you got the head coaching job, and excited to see how UNC Wilmington was going to do, and definitely excited to see how they're going to do in the future with how you've kind of built them up the first year. So I know I could go on forever, but just wanted to say thank you for coming on, and wish you luck over the spring and summer recruiting periods as you start to build up the program over in Wilmington.
I appreciate it, Sean. I'm sure we'll see you again out and about.
Definitely. Okay. Well, thanks a lot. And this is one more episode of the Shawmo Hoops Pod. And we'd like to thank everybody for listening.